Blue Jays talk is upon us. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell and long distance. 1-888-666-0590. The Blue Jays in front of a sellout crowd fall 5-0 to the St. Louis Cardinals. They are 3-4 this year when playing in front of over 40,000 here at Rogers Center. For years, it's been really, really weird. Big crowds, they don't play well, but if they stay in first place for a while, they're going to have to get used to playing in front of big crowds. I don't think that makes a difference at all, but there are those out there who do. Hopefully, we don't hear from too many of them. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell, long distance. 1-888-666-0590. Taking your calls all across the country until the bottom of the hour, and then we will keep things going on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, right up until 5 o'clock Eastern time. Paul is in Scarborough. You're going to be the leadoff man on Blue Jays Talk. Welcome aboard. What do you got?
How are you doing today?
I'm doing all right, thank you. Go ahead.
I was just wondering what you thought about if the Blue Jays should make a trade now for a starting pitcher or they should wait until the trade deadline.
Oh, I think they should make a trade now, but they can't. You got to have somebody to trade with, and nobody in sell mode. First of all, it's too early to get into pure sell mode for any team. But second of all, no team that's in sell mode wants to make a trade right now. They want to play the slow game, take as long as possible, and build up their return as much as they can get.
Okay, now, who would you trade for? Would you trade for the pitch for Kansas City Shields, or would
sure.
you go with Price?
Sure. Either one, fine with me.
Now, what about a second baseman? What do you think about a second baseman? Because I think they need to make a trade for a second baseman. I was listening to the game today, and they said that Greg Zahn said they should make a trade for a second baseman. What do you think?
I don't think they need to make a trade for a second baseman, but I do think that if Juan Francisco continues to not hit for another few weeks, then all of a sudden you have to think about it. I mean, Juan Francisco has never really been, quote-unquote, everyday, I'm going to say everyday platoon player in the major leagues, because I'm fine if he only hits righties, but he's just not hitting right now, and it's been close to a month that he's been not hitting. He's got the slugging still around 500, which is great, but the batting average is down around 200. And if he doesn't turn it around and start hitting okay, then all of a sudden you have to start thinking, well, maybe there's an improvement to be made at second base and Brett Laurie can move back to third. But for now, I'm willing to ride it out, see what happens. They have won 20 out of 26, so things are working very, very well in Blue Jay land right now, despite the last couple of games. But I don't think by any means it's imperative that they make a move for a second baseman. But also, it's too early to make any trades right now.
All right, can I just ask you one more quick question, if I may?
Sure.
What about Guthrie for he pitched against the Jays last weekend. Do you think he'd be a good starter for us or no?
Who?
Guthrie. He pitched for
Jeremy Guthrie?
Yeah.
Jeremy Guthrie's all right. He's unspectacular. He's fine. And he's been in the American League East before and has shown he can handle it. But is he a top-of-the-rotation guy? No, he's not a top-of-the-rotation guy. And I don't know that you make a deal for a mid-rotation starter because you've got plenty of those right here. So I'm going to set my sights a lot higher than Jeremy Guthrie.
All right, thanks for taking my call. You have a great day.
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate the call. Blue Jays fall 5-0 to the St. Louis Cardinals. Still 5.5 up on the Orioles, 6 up on the New York Yankees. Both those teams are losing. The Orioles, I'm confident to say, are going to lose. They're down 10-0 in the 7th. The Yankees, not so much. It's only 2-0 in the 6th against the Royals. But if those scores hold, then the Blue Jays will still be 5.5 up on Baltimore and 6 up on New York. Jared in Toronto, you're next on Blue Jays Talk. Go ahead.
Michael, what's your opinion on who would you give up for a starting top-of-the-line rotation guy like a Price or like not – Price or Shields?
Anything.
You give up in the organization? No, but like your ideal.
Ideal? You want to give up as little as possible, but often it doesn't work that way. I'm happy to give up whatever a team wants to get a top of the rotation starter.
What do you think would be fair?
I don't want to get into that because, I mean, neither of us are on either side of that conversation, and who knows what a specific team is asking for and what a guy wants. I mean, did you ever think you'll be able to get, you know, Colby Rasmus for a couple of relievers, and you know, it didn't seem like much of a package. When the Kansas City Royals traded Carlos Beltran way back when, they said they had to get a catcher, they had to get a third baseman, and they had to get a pitcher. So, their needs have to line up with what you have.
Of course, yeah.
But I think that's just that's way too much hypothesizing for me.
All righty. Thank you very much.
Okay. Appreciate the call. There are teams who want what the Blue Jays have. There are teams who don't or want other things, and the Blue Jays would have to go out and get that. And that's something Alex Anthopoulos has shown he's done in the past. But I can't sit here and say, I'll trade Aaron Sanchez and Daniel Norris and Marcus Stroman for David Price. And, you know, is that what Tampa wants? Would that get it done? Would a lot less get it done? Does it take more? Who knows? You look at deadline trades, there are not often huge hauls coming back. But then there are exceptions. Zach Wheeler for Carlos Beltran, for one. I keep bringing up Beltran. He gets traded a lot. 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Frank is in Newmarket. Frank, you're next on Blue Jays Talk.
Thank you, sir. I'm less concerned about making trades. I'm more concerned with how does the manager and the GM look at the team now because they're playing so well and determine who can fit in as sort of secondary players as well so that they can continue this run, which is bringing in a lot of fans, which is great, by the way.
It is great, by the way. You're right. That they got 45 today, 42 yesterday, almost 43, 33 on Friday night. So that's great. Almost 120,000 people in to see the Blue Jays. Actually, maybe even more than 123,000. 120,000 to see the Blue Jays for a three-game series against St. Louis. But your concern is more about the bench?
Yeah, it's not a concern. I'm just asking it because you're there every day, you know, and you're listening to what's going on and stuff. We the fans are always so concerned about that big trade, you know, and I agree with you that there are a lot of boats that get traded that aren't battleships. So you know, it's not easy to make a trade, but to build for a championship team, we know that depth is everything. Does the team you know work bring as many guys into the game as possible to see how well they do under that pressure of winning, under, you know, be having such a big target on you? You know, the Jays haven't been in the position where winning is what they're doing. So you know, the opponents come in, a team like St. Louis usually comes into the dome with you know, they're the team, they got the target. But the Jays right now, they're going to start getting a target on their back from all the other teams. And I'm wondering, how does the team ensure they maintain this trend to keep the fans in the seats?
Well, I don't think they can maintain this level of production, right? 20 wins right. In 26 games or anything like that. But I think that what you have to do is you have to look at who you've got and what they're doing, and what they're doing right now, you know, who's hitting out of their skull? Edwin in May, and I guess Adam Lind, but he's not hitting for the power that we usually get from him. And who's pitching out of his mind? Only Mark Burley. Everybody else is kind of within what they do for their careers. So I think that because of that, this is a pretty good mix, and it's a pretty good shot to continue to produce at a high level because they're winning a whole big bunch of games by playing within their career norms.
And that's what I'm talking to you about. You know, the chemistry. One has to be careful, you know, to damage the chemistry. When it's working, it's working.
I don't think one has to be careful to damage the chemistry. I don't buy that. I think that winning breeds chemistry rather than chemistry breeding winning. And if you bring a better player in to a situation, he'll kind of fall into that whole winning chemistry that has come around because the team is winning. I mean, J.Pierre and CB and Josh Johnson didn't have this much of an effect on team chemistry that the Blue Jays were terrible last year and that they're wonderful this year. I think that, you know, when you bring in David Cohn in 1992. There were no worries about upsetting the chemistry there. Ricky Henderson in 1993, who maybe, you know, the one of the most me-first players in baseball. No worries about upsetting the chemistry there either, right? They just kind of fell in line.
Yeah, there are times when players, it's like the old adage, you know, sometimes the trade you don't make is the best trade you can make. I'm just talking about the unpredictability of making moves.
Right, but I think that has to, do more with regretting the guys you gave up, or somebody who you wanted goes to another team that and winds up not performing, less than, oh, that had a terrible effect on the clubhouse, I think. I appreciate the call, Frank. I want to get to Gibby. Thank you very much. Some of the best trades you make are the ones you don't make is indeed an old adage, and often it's true. You hear about a guy being dangled. They don't deal him, and he winds up being great. But again, I don't think that it's a fear of upsetting chemistry to improve. Maybe a sideways move you don't make, but when you can get better, you get better. Blue Jays lose it 5-0 to St. Louis. They also lost it 5-0 to St. Louis yesterday. It's a two-game losing streak, and the second two-game losing streak in the last week and a half. But there have been no one-game losing streaks in there either. There was a six-game win streak in between. John Gibbons celebrates his 52nd birthday today. Unfortunately, celebrates it by getting shut out. Let's hear what he had to say after the game.
Happy birthday, by the way.
Thank you.
Did you notice? Yeah, I know. Did you notice something off with Drew right from the get-go? I mean, his velocity seemed down. It seemed the location was off. Was that something you could detect early on?
Yeah, I mean, he didn't have a whole lot of snap on his balls, and they attacked him pretty good. You know, they hit him around pretty good, so figured get him out of there instead of, you know, just leaving him out there. So then Redmond ended up saving us. You know, pitched a nice ball game, kept us in the game, but, you know, they stuck it to us pretty good the last couple of days, you know, but they pitch. And so we couldn't get anything going today.
John, Drew splits home and road, and on regular rest versus extra rest are quite stark. Are you noticing a trend that worries you?
Well, he's definitely pitched better on the road. You know, I mean, some guys like that. I mean, it's hard to put a finger on it, you know. But you can't pitch him on the road every time. I don't know. I don't know why that is. You know, you have to ask him that. But, he wasn't very good today, but they hit him around a little bit. But, you know, I mean, he's been pretty good for us.
Was there anything in particular that Garcia was doing to your guys? It was almost no hard contact all day long.
Yeah, there was. And I mean, he was cutting that fastball in, and then the changeup and breaking ball away. And I mean, he just, like, he was ahead of us the whole game, you know, and moving in and out. But he's pretty good. He's won a lot of games over there for those guys over the years. Looks like he's healthy again. I know he's had some health issues, but I mean, those guys. I mean, he pitches like Burley does. And when those guys are on, I mean, they make it awful tough.
John, just one more on the kind of trend of extra rest versus regular rest. On regular rest, his ERA this year is close to 6. Have you noticed a difference in the crispness of his stuff when he's been pitching on regular rest? Is that a concern at all for you?
Well, you know, I haven't broken it down by, you know, I mean, we, you know, we're aware of the, you know, when they get extra rest and things like that. I just kind of evaluate that particular outing. So, I mean, some days he's got that little extra snap, some days he doesn't, you know. I guess that's pitching. You know, he's coming off Tommy John. He's healthy, but he's probably in a lot of ways he's still building up. A year off's a year off, but hey, it wasn't. You know, I mean, they swung the bats good today. I mean, they came after him. I don't think it was that he was so bad. They attacked him pretty good.
There's John Gibbons. Doesn't sound happy, and nor should he be. The Blue Jays have lost 2 in a row after a 6-game win streak. You heard there a couple of guys asking about Drew Hutchison on normal rest versus regular rest, and the differences are stark. I mean, it's a small sample size because it's really only 30 innings, one and 44 on the other. But on normal rest, Drew Hutchison has started 6 times, including today. And in those 6 starts, he has thrown a total of just 30 1/3 innings, which is an average of barely five innings per start, and he's got an ERA of 5.93. With extra rest, 1 or 2 days rest, Drew Hutchison has started 7 times, and he's thrown 44 and two-thirds innings, which is more than 6 innings per start, and he's got an ERA of 2.62. 8 walks in 44 and two-thirds innings on normal rest, or on extra rest, pardon me, 15 walks in 30 and a third innings with normal rest. So it does seem like that extra day helps him out a lot. Again, small sample size. You're dealing in 30, 40 innings. Those are small sample sizes. But it does, it is interesting, and it's noteworthy. And one wonders if the Blue Jays are going to keep this in mind. They can't skip because they only have one more off day between now and July 10th. So it's hard to give him a breather. But as far as the home road splits goes, Hutchison's next 2 starts will be on the road. Whether they give him an extra day or not using that June 16th off day at Baltimore and at the New York Yankees. 5-0, Blue Jays fall to the St. Louis Cardinals today. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Let's go out to Sean in Ottawa. Sean, you're on Blue Jays Talk. Go ahead.
Hi, Mike.
Hello.
So I'm loving what the Jays are doing this year with all the platooning. I think it's a great idea, maximizing every single position. But the flip side of that is that they need every single roster spot that they have. So with my boy Colby coming back, sounds like in a week or so, what's the roster move that you make, given that neither Ghost or Pilar have really stood out so far?
They've both been quite good, I think.
Well, no one's really taken hold of the fourth outfielder spot, I guess.
Well, they've been platooning, and they've been each doing fine in their platoony roles. So, neither one of them is hitting .400 or anything like that. But they've both done quite well for themselves, I think. And Eric Kratz has done pretty well, too. And he's the other guy who you would think is in a position, in that precarious position at the bottom of the roster when Colby Rasmus comes back. And honestly, people call about this every day. And my answer is the same. I don't know what I would do. I really don't. And often these things sort of sort themselves out with somebody else getting hurt or another spot opening up some other way. You hope it doesn't come to that. But I'm still in wait-and-see mode. I mean, Colby may be back next week, within the next, when the Blue Jays go to Baltimore, Thursday, Friday, something around there. And there's going to be a decision that has to be made, because when he comes back, he's the center fielder. There's no question about that. And I really don't know. Every one of Ghost, Pilar, and Kratz deserves to stay here.
Do you worry that sending Ghost down would give him a negative message about, he's worked hard to come back up, done the things that he's been asked to do, and then he gets sent back to Buffalo again?
Well, but won't the same thing happen with Pilar or with Kratz?
Yes, although I think Ghost is probably, of the three, the one that they're counting on the most past 2014.
Yeah, I think you're probably right there. And I do, I know that Anthony has been unhappy about being sent down before, that he's been steadfast in thinking that he deserves to be in the major leagues. And based on his defense and based on his speed, he does deserve to be in the major leagues. But the offense needs work, and I think that that's something that he sort of needs to recognize. He was hitting .310 on May 30th, and since then his batting average has dropped about 70 points. He's 3 for his last 25, so you're not really helping that much when you're not getting on, and he's only walked once in that span. So over his last 8 games, he's been on base 4 times. That's not that great, and I don't know if you can go down with a chip on your shoulder if you see that, if Ghost is the one who winds up going down. That said, it's about winning, and it's about team, and if you're 23 years old and you're going to pout and not be a team guy, then a team that's trying to do big things doesn't really need you around, right?
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, these are all first-place problems, so I'm fine with it, but thank you very much.
Okay, no problem. And these are indeed, as you say, first-place problems, and they're wonderful to have. The Blue Jays are first by 5 games in the American League East over the Baltimore Orioles. That will move to 5.5 shortly because the Orioles are getting thumped 10-0 at home to the Oakland A's. The Yankees are losing as well. They're down 2-1 to Kansas City. It's June 8th, but scoreboard watching's fun. Blue Jays lose 5-0 to the St. Louis Cardinals for the second straight day. Dan in Toronto, you're on Blue Jays Talk, listening on our flagship Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mike. Nice to have an opportunity to be part of the show this afternoon.
Thank you for calling.
Yeah. Okay, two quick questions. Correct me if I'm wrong, but was the young Tavares not on second base when Molina flared that ball down the first base line in the second inning?
The young Tavares was on first base when Molina hit that ball.
I thought he should have scored because there was 2 outs.
No, not from first.
Okay, all right. Okay,
Molina should have been at second, but that's a whole other thing.
Yeah, okay, all right. Okay, my question is about the roster, and right now it's hard to trust. I think Gibbons has a hard time trusting Steve Dalabar, and I was wondering about maybe instead of bringing Jenkins back from Buffalo, why not bring Rasmussen, and that gives you the option of having 3 lefties in the bullpen.
He's hurt.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry, I didn't know that, yeah.
But I don't think that Dalabar's going anywhere.
No, I'm not saying that, but maybe you could use him in less, like maybe you could use him earlier in the game rather than in more stressful situations.
Yeah, and I think that's happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think when you see how Steve Dalabar is being used lately, you see that he's struggling, and they're using him in less lower leverage situations. Right now, like he came in to pitch against the Rays when they were up by 3 with nobody on and 2 out.
Okay.
He came in to pitch against Kansas City when they were behind, came in a 5-0 game with nobody on in the 9th against Detroit, and yesterday came on when they were down 5-0. So those aren't, you know, that's not where you're using your setup, man. Those are lower leverage spots to see if he can work and get himself right and become that high leverage guy again. But I think Dustin McGowan has taken over the role of what Steve Dalabar did for the Blue Jays last year because he's been so incredibly effective out of the bullpen.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, thank you for your time, Mike. I appreciate it. Have a nice day.
Okay, appreciate your call. Blue Jays, 5-0 losers to the St. Louis Cardinals. We continue to take your calls across the country to the bottom of the hour and then just on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet590.ca until 5 o'clock. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Give us a call. Get through. Talk to Joe Sicilia. If he deems you worthy, then you get to talk to me. Laurent is in Toronto listening on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Good afternoon.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for making it.
Just really quick, just seeing the last 2 games, and obviously Miller and Garcia had some awesome outings. What should the Blue Jays look to improve on, because their opponents are going to see how well those pitchers pitched against us. They cooled our bats off, and just your thoughts. Thanks.
Well, how'd they bounce back after the last 2 losses? They went out and they won 6 games in a row. And those last 2 losses before these 2 losses, I think, were a lot more disheartening than these, no?
Yeah, for sure. But these pitchers just, I know they had their game on. But the bats just look so quiet these last 2 games.
Well, it's going to happen. It doesn't happen a lot, but it happens. And these were 2 good pitchers, and they both pitched awfully well. And, you know, it's funny because 2 of the last 3 losses for the Blue Jays have come against left-handers who don't throw hard, who have just tied the Jays in knots. Garcia did it. Jason Vargas did it with Kansas City last Friday. So, everybody else they've hammered except for Shelby Miller.
So do you think Seitzer has to kind of maybe help the boys come in a different approach? Because, I mean, Garcia was pitching between, I mean, I think his low pitch was a 70 today, and he was getting it up nice close to, you know, 91, 92. So had a really strong range, and it just seems like the boys are catching up to that kind of rhythm.
I don't think that you overreact to a couple of losses. I don't think you need to change anything. I think you need to just step back and recognize how good this team is, how well it's doing. And even, you know, they've been shut out now in back-to-back games, and they're still among the league leaders in runs scored. Oakland has thrown up a 10 spot today, so Oakland is back up on top right now, and they were probably on top after yesterday. But even after getting shut out today, the Blue Jays are second in the major leagues in scoring. So,
right.
You know, I really don't think you need to do anything.
I'm not looking for, you know, like drastic changes or anything. I mean,
good.
I think our roster's doing awesome. Thanks for taking my call, Mike.
All right, appreciate it. Keep watching the video and, you know, do what you're supposed to do. And we talked to Joe Siddle, mentioned this a couple of times today, that Kevin Seitzer was telling the players, the guys, look, stay to the middle on this guy, middle the other way on this guy, because the temptation to pull is so overwhelming, and all that results is that you get that little rollover weak ground ball to third base, and the temptation was overwhelming, and that's all the Blue Jays did. They rolled over. They hit weak ground ball after weak ground ball to third base. But that's nothing new, and it's not a Blue Jays-centric thing. You ask the St. Louis Cardinals, and they'll tell you, every time Jaime Garcia pitches, Matt Carpenter's the busiest guy on the field because everybody keeps hitting ground balls to third base. Blue Jays were no different today, and they lose 5-0. We will take more of your phone calls. If you're on hold, stay on hold. We'll get to you on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, as we continue Blue Jays talk on the local side up until 5 o'clock. For the rest of you across the country, step away for a sec. Come back and put a nice, pretty bow on this one. Blue Jays fall 5-0 to St. Louis. It's the Honda Postgame on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Blue Jays lose 5-0 to the St. Louis Cardinals, and that's going to do it for us. Remember, if you're elsewhere across the country, not in the Toronto listening area, stick around because, well, we're going to keep going until 5 o'clock Eastern time. So you might as well give us a call and get in on the conversation. Blue Jays have dropped two straight, both by 5-0 scores. These are the second and third time this season that the Jays have been shut out, and they do not go unbeaten in 8 consecutive series. That would have tied a mark set by the 1993 team. That's the last time this happened. As for the scoreboard washing, it's 0-0 Seattle and Tampa Bay. In the top of the ninth inning, Felix Hernandez went 7 innings of 4-hit shutout with 15 strikeouts. The Oakland A's lead Baltimore 10-0. That game is in the bottom of the eighth inning. The Yankees trail the Kansas City Royals 2-1 in the top of the seventh. Right now, the Jays have a 5-game lead on Baltimore, 5.5 on the Yanks. If those two teams wind up losing, then the Blue Jays would gain another half game on both those teams. The Minnesota Twins come to town tomorrow for the first of a 3-game series. The Twins are tied for last place in the AL Central right now, but they're only 5 games behind the Tigers, and they just signed Kendrys Morales to a 1-year deal, so he'll likely be here, maybe. R.A. Dickey will get the start for the Jays, looking for his 7th win of the year. He's up against Twins righty Ricky Nolasco. Make sure you join us tomorrow. We are on the air at 7 Eastern for a 7:07 first pitch. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware. Homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form. Any accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Sportsnet Radio Network. For Jerry Howard, Joe Siddle, Tom Young, Brett Armstrong, and Joe Sicilia, I'm Mike Wilner. Bye-bye from Rogers Center.
The 2-2 pitch, swing and a miss, strike 3. The Cardinals win it with another 5-0 game. That matches yesterday, and the Blue Jays blank in back-to-back games here at home.
There it is, the final call. Juan Francisco strikes out, pinch hitting in the bottom of the ninth inning, and the Blue Jays lose it 5-0 to the St. Louis Cardinals. Second straight game that the Blue Jays have lost 5-0 to the St. Louis Cardinals. They had been unbeaten in 7 consecutive series. Going into this one, they had swept 4 straight playoff teams. Going into this series, the last four playoff teams that they'd faced, the Red Sox and the A's and the Rays and the Tigers, but they dropped 2 out of 3 to St. Louis. They have still won 20 out of 26, despite the fact that they've been shut out in consecutive games, and right now continue to hold a 5-game lead in the American League East. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk, taking it all the way to 5 o'clock Eastern Time when we go to Sportsnet tonight with Roger Lajoie. Phone lines are open, 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell, long distance, is 1-888-666-0590. We go to Jamie in Toronto. You're on Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Good afternoon, Jamie.
Hey, Mike, I just want to make a quick pitching comment, then ask a question about the AL East. As far as Drew Hutchison's last two outings go, I feel personally as a pedestrian watcher that in the first few innings in Detroit, Hutch got away with a couple of pitches that he maybe didn't get away with today. And they got, you know, belted around a little bit. And I think it's a great learning experience, and it's fantastic to see Todd Redmond come in and pitch, what, 4 or 5 scoreless innings?
5, yeah.
I mean, I think there's a lot of upside to a loss like this. There's no wasted offense, and it's nice to see that Redmond can come in and fill that role. Would you agree with that?
I don't know if there's upside. I don't know about wasted offense. It's not like if you don't score runs today, you get to have them tomorrow. But this is just, it's just another loss. It's one of 60 or 70 that's going to happen over the course of a season, maybe more, doubtfully less. But for me, like, this is just, they didn't hit, and they got a great game thrown at them.
Absolutely.
And it's just a loss.
Yeah, it's nice to see not as many stranded runners, at least. As far as the AL East...
Well, but the more runners you strand, that means the more opportunities you had to score.
Yeah, fair enough. Good point. As far as the AL East is concerned, it's nice to see that Baltimore is next to us, because I don't see that they have the lasting power. For me, I think that Boston might be the closest to us in terms of being one or two players away from being a complete team. I think we need a pitcher. I think they might need a little more offense. Who do you think is their biggest competitor in the AL East right now?
Right now, it's Baltimore, but I think that you know, we were having this discussion in the press box yesterday. Every team is flawed. The Blue Jays are flawed, too. Every team in the American League East is flawed. Right now, I think that the biggest competition for the Blue Jays is the Blue Jays. I think they're the ones, you know, I agree with you. Baltimore, I don't think much of the Baltimore Orioles. I know a lot of people talk about how wonderful their offense is. It's not as good as the Blue Jays, period. And I don't, you know, I'm not going to debate that at all. It's not. And their starting pitching is really nothing to write home about. So I don't get all the love for the Baltimore Orioles. After today, they're going to be a game over 500. The Yankees will be either at 500 or 2 games over, and that's the second and third place teams in the American League East right now. So there's, I don't want to sit here and say, oh, there's no competition for the Blue Jays in the division. Obviously there is, but there's nobody within striking distance who you should be afraid of at this point.
Right, I agree with that. I just think that Baltimore is going to be hovering around that 500. It's all speculation for the season, and I think Boston has the opportunity to, you know, throw 10 wins together like we've seen them do in the past.
Well, if they do, they'll be 3 games over.
And
right?
I think,
and the Blue Jays are 12 games over right now.
Right, I just think they're our closest, and I'm not sure why, but I see Boston being there, and I see New York and Baltimore struggling between that 500 just above, just below, and I appreciate you taking my call. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it. I'm not big on predictions. Nobody knows what's going to happen. Everybody who's supposed to really know what they're talking about picked the Blue Jays to be in the playoffs last year and to finish last in the AL East this year with the same team. So predictions are... You know, a prediction and $5 will get you a Starbucks coffee, right? So I don't know how the rest of the teams in the American League East are going to do all season. If you think the Boston Red Sox are their closest competition, then that's fantastic because the Red Sox are 9.5 games back right now. Carlton in Etobicoke. Hello, Carlton.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling. Welcome to Blue Jays Talk.
Thank you. I just wanted to make a quick comment. You know, I think people here in Toronto just kind of push the panic button whenever the Blue Jays lose, period. Obviously, the Blue Jays is one of the best teams in MLB right now, even offensively. Pitching, yeah, there might be a little question mark. But, you know, I just think everyone should just relax. You know, it's just another loss. Last time we went on a two-game losing streak and we end up going on another six game. So I just think, you know, with the history with here in Toronto, I think people just seem to wait for the disaster to happen. And, you know, I just think everyone just needs to relax. But I just had a quick question for you. If you can add a piece to this team, and I want to think more specific to the bullpen, who would you pick and why? And I'll just leave you with that. Thanks.
I don't think that they need to add a piece to the bullpen at all. I think the bullpen is fine. I think there's a sort of a fallacy among, I don't know whether to say baseball fans or Blue Jays fans, so I'm going to say Blue Jays fans, just because we haven't had a contender in this city for so long that people think that good teams, winning teams, are super deep and have like five or six great relievers and four or five great starters and 6 300 hitters and all that stuff. That's not the way it works. Teams aren't built like that. There aren't teams that are that good, that are that perfect. And I think the Blue Jays have an embarrassment of riches in their bullpen. They have seven really good pitchers in the bullpen, and there are not many teams that even have four really good pitchers in their bullpen. So you know, Sergio Santos is coming back, and I know a lot of people just cringed when I said that, but a healthy Sergio Santos is an excellent pitcher. And if you have Santos and McGowan and Cecil and Lupin-Delabar backing up Casey Jansen, that's just silly. It really is. It's just silly. So I don't think they need a thing in the bullpen. I think I'm very happy with this bullpen. Blue Jays lose it 5-0 to the St. Louis Cardinals. The bullpen threw six shutout innings today. Adrian is in Tbilisi in Georgia. Adrian going long distance for us.
Hi, Mike. I you know, I'm 8 hours ahead, so I can only watch the afternoon games. And I wanted to call.
So you're not, what you're telling me right now is that you're not a dedicated enough Blue Jays fan to be up at 3 a.m. every day to watch a night game?
Hey, if Burley was pitching and it was only going to be a two-hour game, okay, maybe.
All right.
Well, I wanted to share, I'm a total believer in the team this year, and I wanted to share a quick story with you. In 93, the last time the Jays won, it was my 21st birthday, and I was in Paris, and my dad was mailing me copies of the Toronto Star Sports section as the series was progressing. And I got a feeling that, you know, this year I'll be out of the country in October again, and I think that's the charm, my friend. It's just, as long as I'm out of the country, we got the goods.
Have you been in Canada every October, each of the last 20 years?
Yes, I have.
All right. Yeah. Where were you in 92?
In 92, I was in Toronto. And I was walking in that same parade that you were describing yesterday.
So they won in spite of your presence in 1992.
They did. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. This is interesting.
And, you know, the technology is a little different, but my dad and I are still... we're still in touch about, you know, about what's going on with the Jays and exchanging emails and stuff. So it's a beautiful thing.
Well, I'll tell you this. If the Blue Jays do win the World Series this year and you're in Georgia,
yes.
Then I think we could probably arrange for them to send you away in every October from here on out.
Okay, that would be a deal.
I'll see what I can do.
Mike, keep up the great work.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Bye. All the way from Georgia, and that's not Georgia, Southern United States, Georgia. That's the former Soviet Republic of Georgia, Georgia. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. The Tampa Bay Rays have just given up 5 runs in the 9th inning to the Seattle Mariners. And they trail 5-0 right now. Oakland leading Baltimore 10-0 in the bottom of the 8th. But the Orioles do have the bases loaded. But that's a big, big hill to climb. And the Yankees down 2-1 to the Kansas City Royals as they play with 2 out and nobody on in the top of the 8th. So they're an out away from having to deal with Greg Holland. And Jan Hervis, never nervous, Solarte just grounded out to second. So they're going to the bottom of the 8th, 2-1 Royals over the New York Yankees. If these scores hold, it's just another day off the calendar, and the Blue Jays maintain their 5.5-game lead in the American League East. Phone lines open. Jays lose it 5-0, 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Lewis is in Sarnia. Lewis, welcome to Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, sir.
So just a quick question. I mean, we've seen Shelby Miller come out yesterday and dominate the Jays, and
yep.
then Garcia today. My thought process is, you know, they did chase a lot of pitches outside the zone today. So what's the message from Seitzer and Gibby to motivate these guys coming off 2 consecutive shutout games so that we don't start seeing a pattern, you know, because, I mean, Miller, obviously, like you said yesterday, he could have shut out any team in the major leagues with what he was doing. But Garcia today, I felt, you know, we could have put up some runs. So that's my question. What's the message in the clubhouse to not have this happen in Minnesota when they come to town, you know?
Here's the thing. Here's the thing about Garcia. What you just said about Garcia is probably what everybody else says about Mark Burley.
Right.
This is a guy we should have destroyed. And yet here's Burley 10-2 with the second best ERA in the American League. Right, guys like that are sneaky, and they kind of make you feel, you know, there are a lot of comfortable offers against guys like that. So I'm not taking anything away from the way Jaime Garcia pitched today. He pitched very, very well.
For sure.
I don't know that there's a message that needs to be sent. It's not, you know, this isn't the kind of sport where you go in and you throw things around and you whatever, have your big Newt Rockne motivational speeches. And I don't know that there's anything to be said to them except that, hey, you've been shut out twice in a row. You're still second in the major leagues in runs scored. You were leading the major leagues in runs scored going into today, after the first shutout.
Right.
And so just keep doing what you were doing over the first 62 games, and everything will be fine.
Exactly. And it's good that Baltimore, you know, and the Yankees continue to lose. You know, it's given us that cushion, so... You're right, though. We're going to pick it back up, and I think they'll probably do well when Minnesota comes. But it's just frustrating, you know, watching 2 consecutive days of shutout baseball. But though, like you said, they still lead the league in a lot of things, and hopefully they turn it back around.
Yeah, and I'm sure they will. You can be confident that they will. Thank you for the call. I know it's tough to see your team get shut out twice in a row, and it makes you think of all sorts of terrible things. It really does. Just remember that even with these 2 shutouts, they've still won 20 of their last 26, and they've got a nice, healthy cushion on top of the division. Frank is in Markham. Frank, welcome to Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, Mike. You know, that last caller, I don't know how you can be frustrated as a Blue Jays fan right now. This team has been on fire.
I had a guy tweet me on Friday when they were winning, frustrated because they'd left so many runners on base.
Yeah, some of these fans just don't understand them. We have a great team. I think this is finally the year we're going to get over the hump and make the playoffs. Even when we're losing, we got teams in the AL that are losing again like today. I just think this team is so far and away our best team we've had in years. The fans should be so happy. Like, the crowds, we gotta support this team. And, yeah, they're gonna have bad games. That's what happens in baseball and in every sport. You can't be frustrated when we just won, 20 out of 24, like you said. Maybe I'm off there, but...
No, you're right.
this team is fun. Like, I love everything about this team. And I just hope we can add that extra starting pitcher, that, like, number one, number two guy in the rotation, because I really, truly believe this is the year we can do some great things. And it's not out of the question at all that this team can make the World Series in the AL this year. It is 1-8, 1-9, we're lethal. Our pitching staff, our starters have been good, not great. They could get better. And our bullpen is phenomenal. There's nothing to be negative about right now. I don't care that they got shut out two games in a row. It's going to happen. Baltimore is losing 10-0. Come on, guys. I just really hope Alex Anthopoulos makes a move at the deadline, you know, does and gets this team that extra starting pitcher, because I think that would just be phenomenal for the fans and the city. And I think it needs to be done, and I hope it does get done. But my question to you, Mike, is who would you be willing to give up to get that piece or pieces? Or how many players would you give up to get that 1-2 pitcher in the rotation?
Pretty much whatever it takes.
So would you, Colby Rasmus' name is out there a lot.
Colby Rasmus is not getting traded for starting pitching. Erase that
from it. Would you have to throw in something else with him?
No, Colby. No team that is going to trade starting pitching to the Blue Jays is going to be interested in Colby Rasmus.
Even though they can get that first round pick,
they can't get that first round pick.
Oh, they can?
No, if you trade the guy, the pick goes away.
Okay. My apologies on that.
Yeah,
okay.
You're not the only one who thinks that, so it's all right.
I love Stroman, man. I don't want to give him up. Sanchez, to me, like, you read everything about him. I don't want to give up these young guys because these guys can be down the road great players for us.
You want to win this year?
I do want to win this year.
Then you're going to have to give up something you don't want to give up.
Who would you give up, Stroman or Sanchez?
Sure.
Who would you give up?
Either one of them.
Yeah, really, eh?
Both for the right guy.
Who is the right guy in your mind?
Shields and Price, I think, are the top two.
Okay. You think we can get Price out of Tampa Bay for both?
I don't know. It's not going to be easy. And I would hate, you know, having Stroman and Sanchez come in here 10 times a year for the next 6 years while they're in Tampa and just shove it right up the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
But if you get a flag out of it, right?
100%.
Then it's worth it.
Like I said, Mike, this team, there's nothing you can say negative right now. I love everything about it. I just hope AA does his magic like he did off season and hopefully brings in that one or maybe two pieces, because I truly believe and I hope that this team does great things. And that's it. It is positive today, man. We lost. Who cares? Next series, let's move on. Let's not be negative, and let's just keep on going, man.
Okay. Thank you, Frank. I appreciate it. And you know what? Frank's right. I mean, you don't not care that they just lost a couple of games in a row. It's no fun to lose a couple of games in a row. But I think this is something that the baseball fandom in Toronto is going to have to get used to again. Because it's been so long. I mean, I don't know. Were half of you listening to me right now even aware enough of your surroundings the last time the Blue Jays were contenders? And by that, I mean like 6 years old or older. This is something that a lot of people have never been through. And you have to remember that even a pennant winner loses two or three times a week. And so you can't let the losses eat you up and overwhelm you, because they're going to happen. For the Blue Jays to win 90 games this season, 90 wins, that's a good season, 90 wins. If they win 90 games, they've got another 46 losses to go through in the next 98 games. That's a lot of losses. That's almost every other game. So you can't let the losses eat you up. They're going to happen. As long as they're healthy and they're winning more than they're losing, that's good enough. Because really, all the Blue Jays have to do is just be a little bit over 500 the rest of the way, and they're fine. They lose 5-0 to the Cardinals today. They lost 5-0 to the Cardinals yesterday. John in Toronto, welcome to Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, Mike, you're doing a great job, as always. One of the best on the radio.
You too. Thank you.
Thanks, man. Can you tell the city of Toronto is jonesing for a sports winner somewhere, somehow?
We saw it with the Raptors, right? I mean, look how nuts they were. We went over a first round, and we are dying in this city for something to cheer about, that's for sure.
Yeah, we're like a huge North American city, but we feel like we're the underdog always, you know, because of the sports losses. Just wanted a couple points. I wanted to put in my 2 cents regarding, I know you mentioned it before, about the upcoming roster move. When Rasmus returns, I lean towards keeping Pilar slightly, although it's close call, over Ghost. Just because you can keep the platoon, the left-right platoon. Pilar seems like he might have a bit more upside on the batting average side. It could be wrong, but it seems like he might.
I think he's a better hitter. But there's also that Kratz possibility too, right? You could go to two catchers.
That's right. Yeah, so it's a tough call, but I think Gibby really likes to have the three-catcher mix. With Hap and what have you. One other thing regarding the potential trade, obviously not yet, but maybe closer to the deadline for a pitcher. I think maybe Cliff Lee would be a good choice to go after. Veteran guy, still pretty good. Probably a little bit lower price, lower, no pun intended, than David Price.
Right, lower price in prospect capital, but much higher price as far as contract goes. I mean, he's making $52 million dollars guaranteed over the next 2 years.
As a fan, I don't care about that.
Right,
Rogers,
you don't, but that factors into it. But Cliff Lee's a guy I love, but Cliff Lee is a guy who's hurt. So it's a bit of a problem. He's on the 15-day disabled list with a strained left elbow. It's that ligament, you know, the whole Tommy John sort of thing. And he hasn't pitched since the middle of May. So even if he comes back and shows that he's healthy, I wonder, you know, I'd still be a little skeptical, I think.
Yeah, for sure. But on the other hand, if he is healthy, has he had, from your knowledge, has he had a history of injury problems with his arm?
No, he has not. No.
So maybe it's a risk worth taking, because, like you said, I think we could probably, because of his massive salary and he's a little bit older and what have you, we could probably get away with a lower caliber of prospect or at least
less. I agree with you. I think it'd be hard to sell to the Rogers board, hey, here's a $65 million investment, his elbow might explode.
Fair enough. That's true. It's always a tough call. It's always sort of on the edge with these things. One last point I wanted to ask you about regarding the Jays draft. I was really excited about the three players that they got in the first day, especially with what's his name, Foley. I guess was the third pick that they got.
Foley Reed, yeah.
Have you heard anything regarding signability concerns with him, or are the Jays confident that they can get all three of those guys?
It's pointless to answer that question, right? Because last year they were confident they were going to sign Phil Bickford, and they didn't. I'm sure that they draft guys with the intent to sign them, and I'm hoping they'll be able to get them all signed. But I don't know. They still got 5 weeks to figure that stuff out.
Yeah, for sure. Just the one thing I was thinking was that because the gentleman that they got for Hoffman with the ninth pick. There's a lot of, I guess, belief that they could probably get him under the slot value, so maybe they can throw a little extra money at Reed Foley.
You hope. All right. You want to hope. You hope you can get them all.
Sounds good. Hey, Mike, again, you're doing a great job. One last thing I just wanted to mention I thought you might find funny. Another positive of keeping Pilar, and this is obviously a joke. I remember last year when Pilar was facing Breslow and then LeVarnway was catching, and you said how much, quote, knockouts you were shepping off of it.
That's right.
A little parochial, so maybe we could recreate that moment if we keep Pilar this year.
That would be pretty swell. Yeah, you always want to have guys around for that. Thank you for the call, John. Let's sneak one more in before we go. Chris in Stouffville. Chris, go ahead quick.
I have a quick question.
Yeah.
Roughly how long does it take for a pitcher to, like a veteran pitcher to get into rhythm for the season to start or to be like season ready?
Oh, like spring training and stuff, I guess 5 weeks.
Yeah. Okay. I had just a quick thought. Roger Clemens, a couple of years back, he played half the season for the Houston Astros. Just curious how good is Roy Halladay's back, and if maybe we can call him back out of retirement to pitch the last leg of the season for us.
Roy Halladay's not coming out of retirement.
No.
All right. Thank you for the call. Roger Clemens was, he did it because he didn't want to go to spring training because he wanted to be with his family as much, and he knew that teams would give him a whole big bag of money and he'd only have to play half a year. A very special case there. Roy Halladay has two broken bones in his back. Roy Halladay's not coming back. Roy Halladay's not walking through that door. But that's okay. And it is, seems to be a natural Toronto thing to just pine for good guys who used to play here. Carlos Delgado was here. He threw out the first pitch. He's not coming back either. Blue Jays lose it by a score of 5-0 to the St. Louis Cardinals. They had been unbeaten in 7 straight series. They swept the Red Sox, the A's, the Rays, and the Tigers, the 4 teams that were in the playoffs last year in the American League in the ALDS. The St. Louis Cardinals went to the World Series, and they took 2 out of 3 from the Blue Jays, 5-0, the final score both yesterday and today. The Minnesota Twins come to town tomorrow. R.A. Dickey against Ricky Nolasco. We're on at 7. The Yankees are an out away from a loss in the 9th, but they've got the tying run at 3rd. Thanks to Tom. Thanks to Joe. Thanks to Brett. Thanks to you. See you tomorrow.